The first major investigation into the impact COVID-19 has on autistic people and their families has been released this week. The report titled "I Want to See My Friends: The Everyday Experience of Autistic People and Their Families During COVID-19 shares the impact of social isolation, a sudden lack of face-to-face health services, and the confusing and conflicting government messages. To tell us more about this research, we are joined by one of the authors of the report, Jacden Houting, postdoctoral research associate from Macquarie University's School of Education. Good morning, Jack.
Hi, great to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, this study was pretty big. You have interviewed about like 131 people, which is quite a lot. How has COVID-19 impacted people with autism and their families?
Yeah, so look, we've found really, really varied impacts for different people, which makes sense with such a large group of people, obviously. Every autistic person is different. Every family is different. So it's going to impact people very differently. We found that some people were really, really struggling, though. And that is quite counter to what people might expect, because there is a perception, misperception that autistic people, quite enjoy being socially isolated, and that maybe lockdown would just be an ideal world for autistic people. And there were some people who did find that, who did quite well and quite enjoyed it. But we did find that a lot of people were really struggling with the impacts of lockdown.
Yeah, absolutely. The impact of social isolation is a pretty big one. Now, there have been a lot of mixed feelings about the whole idea of telehealth and healthcare and mental health care online. In some ways, it's made it more accessible, but in other ways, it just hasn't. I had a look at the report that said face-to-face support structures are critical for the well-being of autistic people and must not be closed down again. Do you want to expand on the impact that it had to not have this face-to-face support?
Yeah, absolutely. So we found that most of the families in our study were accessing some kind of professional support, whether that was a psychologist or an occupational therapist, a speech therapist. And most of the autistic adults also were accessing some kind of professional support. And for a lot of people, making that transition to telehealth rather than face-to-face support, it just wasn't as effective. Some people found it quite anxiety-provoking, the idea of receiving supports via telehealth, and actually chose to disengage with their supports. And that had some really detrimental impacts for some people, going from having professional supports to suddenly having no supports in a time that was so stressful anyway. So although some people found telehealth was good, it was as good as face-to-face support, or in some cases even better, there were people for who it was really detrimental to be forced into telehealth. So I guess our recommendation is about having that flexibility and making sure that face-to-face supports are available for the people who need them and who benefit from them. For people who are comfortable with telehealth, that's also a great option.
Absolutely. It's all about the choice. It's all about the choice. Now, what were the key recommendations for the report that what should be happening in the future? What should we take away from it?
Look, there were a number of things that we found. One, as you mentioned, was this idea of not taking away the face-to-face supports. We also had some recommendations around schooling. A lot of families really struggled with the transition to online schooling and found that they were really just not supported as much as they needed to be. A lot of people also really struggled with government communication around the restrictions. I'm sure most of us probably found that the rules around lockdown and restrictions were difficult to follow at times. But particularly for autistic people, and I'm autistic myself, and I struggled with understanding a lot of the rules and restrictions. We often struggle to cope with rapid changes, and those restrictions were changing so often, and they were not communicated in ways that were clear and easy to understand. That's another one of our recommendations, is that if we do need to have similar measures in the future, they need to be communicated in ways that are accessible to everybody.
Absolutely. And the whole issue with COVID-19 and all the messages going out, there were so many changes, like not even daily, just hourly. There were continuous changes.
Absolutely. Yes.
So going forward, what are you hoping that will be used for this report policy-wise? Is it a big thing about having that preparation?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think something we really noticed was that this was obviously an unprecedented situation. Nobody saw it coming. Well, that's not entirely true. I'm sure epidemiologists may have seen it coming. as a country and as a world, we really weren't prepared in the way that we should have been. And so obviously the response then was sort of that very much emergency planning response. But unfortunately, what we found was that a lot of our more disadvantaged communities weren't accounted for in that emergency response planning, and that meant that the autistic community and the broader autism community, the families of autistic people, our needs were not taken into account in that planning. So going forward, we're hoping to see some more thorough planning if we do find ourselves in a similar situation again, and planning that takes into account the needs of all the many diverse groups within our community, including the autistic community.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us and tell us all about the research this morning.
No worries. Thanks for having me.